Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Holly on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Holly and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 11, Number 12. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I talked about food cravings and emotions. Exercise, training, and optimum nutrition are, of course, essential to understand if wellness of mind and body is our objective. However, the effects of these highly regenerative modalities are without any benefit whatsoever if not applied. Why would anyone not want to apply them? Well, the answer to that question is as complex as the universe itself and as mysterious as life and love. One reason for sure why some of us struggle with fitness and whole foods is related to the effects and dominance of certain negative emotions, such as worry, fear, loneliness, and a feeling of low self-worth. Keep in mind that feelings are not real. Emotions are like a puff of smoke. They come and go. You can't bottle them. You can't sell them. You can't contain them. You can't measure them on an electroencephalograph. You can't, like, see emotion. We know that emotions exist because people experience them, but that experience is absolutely 100% subjective. You cannot feel anyone's emotion, and you can also fake emotion. So that's why emotional understanding is so difficult, and learning how to control ourselves and our emotions is one of the great challenges of life. But if you feel like you have no self-worth, that's false, because everyone has enormous worth, absolute incredible worth. So to feel like you've got no worth is a lie. It's a lie because it's not true. And the facts are that you exist and you are made up of 100 trillion cells, and you are a function of life, and life is precious. So every living thing is absolutely worth more than all of the money that man can contrive and has put together in the past and will in the future. So people are struggling within themselves for many reasons, and part of the work of health is to unravel the inner chaos we have inside our head. We must face our fears head on, itemize our thoughts and feelings, and address who and what we are from a cause and effect point of view. As friends or healthcare professionals, we can advise and guide all we want, but unless the individual is willing to do the work involved and over time slowly stabilize and gain control of their emotions, there's little hope for complete restoration. If we can't control our emotions, how can we control our behavior? And if we can't control our behavior, or if we continue to believe we can't control our behavior, how can we possibly do the work of health that demands consistency and discipline day in and day out? On this final edition of Clinical Review, Volume 11 for 2012, let's return to our continuing series of principles of sports nutrition. Next in line is PSN number 15, endocrine glands. A complex and highly specialized network of ductless glands, the endocrine system functions to manufacture and release substances known as hormones. When I think of the human endocrine system, I think of the glands that release the hormones, such as the pituitary, the pineal, thyroid, parathyroid glands, the adrenals, testicles, and ovaries. These glands are specialized, highly sensitive, and intimately associated with preserving and protecting our youth. In fact, many physicians who specialize in anti-aging are convinced that sustaining the messages our glands transmit as hormones is the key and secret to good health and longevity. In CSNA Module 5, Body Typing and Individual Assessment, we're reminded of how Dr. Abravanel, author of The Body Type Diet, was convinced by his clinical hands-on experience with thousands of patients that you can type people based on the dominance of their endocrine glands. I'm a thyroid type, for example. Others are adrenal types. In women, there is an ovarian type, and in both sexes, there can be a dominance of the pituitary gland. Abravanel came up with a diet for each type based on what we crave. He was trying to restore endocrine balance that leads to optimum body composition, and he was very successful, which is why he wrote the book. There's no doubt that our glands affect both our emotions and the neurons from which they flow. The human endocrine system consists of more than a dozen specialized tissues and glands producing close to 100 distinct hormones and related substances. The focus on the endocrine system here is to understand the potency of hormones. Hormones are very powerful substances, which is exactly why many athletes take them as doping agents. Lance Armstrong, for example, continues to deny that he took the blood doping booster EPO to enhance his cycling performance. Unfortunately, the evidence gathered does not support his denial. Lance was disqualified this year from all his results since August 1998 for using and distributing performance-enhancing drugs and was banned from professional cycling for life. Hormones exert dramatic effects on the cell very quickly, and the effects are so reliable that once the athlete crosses the line, the likelihood of continuous use is high. And Lance Armstrong, in this case, is a great example. You take the drug, your performance goes up, you're able to sustain and achieve superhuman feats of performance, and it's very difficult to let go of the fame and the glory and the money and everything else that goes along with success in this world, in spite of the fact that you might be cheating, and eventually, as in all cases, I guess, it seems anyway that these people are all being caught, more so than ever, because the detection methods are improving. And also, people that are involved in the lie, they're not all going to keep the secret. The endocrine system works with the nervous and immune systems to regulate activities within the body and preserve homeostasis. Hormones regulate the chemical composition of our internal terrain, affect metabolism and energy balance, and play a huge role in the rate of protein synthesis. Hormones vary in their chemical influence and elemental structure. They are divided into four separate groups, including peptides and proteins, steroids, biogenic amines, and eicosanoids. So four groups. Number one, peptides and proteins. Number two, steroids. Number three, biogenic amines. And number four, eicosanoids. Peptide and protein hormones consist of amino acid chains, which number from 3 to 200. All steroid hormones, the next group, are derived from cholesterol, and although they all share a four-ring structure in common, differences in side chains attached to various sites on these rings make each steroid very unique. Biogenic amines are the simplest of the four classes of hormones. They're synthesized through the modification of ammonia, and ammonia is a byproduct of amino acid breakdown. The amino acids from the diet and also built inside. Eicosanoids, including prostaglandins and leukotrienes, are manufactured from fatty acids. Essential fats come to mind, as well as other non-essential fats, again, produced in the body. So there's lots of stuff going on inside of us that we're not conscious of, and one of them is the production and release and activity of these hormones, which are very powerful. So basically, there are four different types of hormones classified according to the influence they have in the body, as well as their structure and chemistry. Most hormones are proteins and polypeptides. Protein hormones are water-soluble and are transported freely through the blood as they are released. Steroid hormones are less soluble in the watery plasma of blood, So after secretion, they become attached to special transport proteins produced by the liver so they can reach their target cells. Hormones exert their actions differently depending on their chemical class. Peptide hormones, again the most common, they need to connect with intracellular receptors, but because they are water-soluble, they can't get through or diffuse through the fatty bilayers made up of phospholipids of the cell membrane. The plasma membrane has these phospholipid bilayers that are built into the membrane, so the water-soluble nature of the hormones can't get through. So acting on what are known as first messengers, protein hormones begin their message delivery service by binding to a receptor protein on the surface of the cell. Once the hormone is bound to its receptor molecule, G protein molecules transfer the hormonal message from the outer surface of the membrane to the inner surface of the membrane. It's like a quarterback handing the ball to the fullback. So the hormone comes to the cell, it connects with a receptor, these G proteins get involved, take the transfer of the message, and then they now have to carry it through that phospholipid bilayer. Now, once received on the inner surface of the membrane, this message activates an enzyme that leads to the creation of cyclic AMP, which acts as the second messenger. Now, cyclic AMP then activates other enzymes called protein kinases, which transfer messages to other receptors in the cell. Once this occurs, the actual genes inside of the nucleus, inside of the cell, are instructed to begin the construction of proteins and other essential materials in the cell. So basically, you've got this delivery system, and it's different for the water-soluble and fat-soluble hormones. Steroid hormones, they're fat-soluble. They act a bit differently. And because they're lipid-soluble, they enter the cell directly. They don't need to interact in the same way. They're more direct. After entering the cell, the hormone binds to a receptor protein located on the surface of the nucleus. This activated receptor then alters gene expression through interaction with nuclear DNA. This results in gene transcription, producing messenger RNA, and messenger RNA becomes a plate for protein synthesis, producing enzymes that carry out the effects of the original hormone. So you can see that these hormones are basically chemical messengers that originate from endocrine glands, the glands, the tiny little glands that produce the hormones, the powerful substances that affect change and growth and reproduction. The endocrine system is intimately involved with adaptive responses to stress, sexual interest and performance, muscle tone and fat burning, menstruation, healing, emotional and mental function, and in concert with the nervous and immune systems, as mentioned, permit the orderly progression of life. The virtue of optimum health itself, as in maintaining a state of positive functional health, has a positive protective effect on the endocrine system. So, there's a chicken and egg issue here. The house where the glands live is your body. You take care of your body, you oxygenate it, you clean it, you basically manage it correctly according to the laws of nature as a human, Homo sapiens sapiens species, as a creature that exists and confined within the magnitude of existence and subject to the laws of nature. Now, if you sustain yourself correctly, you've got an environment that's going to optimize gland function and hormone production. If not, then you suffer the consequences. That's why a lot of people, when they go see the doctor can't possibly fix them because they have sabotaged and destroyed and abandoned and neglected themselves to the point where there's this total chaos inside the body, inside the house where the brain lives and the nervous system, etc., this endocrine system. And how can you change a person with a medication? Basically, turn off the sensation of pain. And that's what drugs do. But meanwhile, the damage continues, and eventually it just gets worse. Now, prolonged stress, which is incredibly important to understand because it really ruins a lot of people, has a devastating effect. DHEA, for example, plummets under stress, and taking a DHEA supplement can have a very positive anti-catabolic effect One of the ways that we can determine what state we're in is to get our DHA sulfate levels measured, especially as we're aging post 40, 50, 60. People are walking around with suboptimal levels of DHEA, and you can help restore levels by taking the supplement, which is very safe. Keep this in mind that every hormone in the body is important. They're all part of a complex network of endocrine glands that release them. And to some degree, we're living in a new era today, and with that new era comes new technology. Today, we're looking at gene therapy and gene doping, which goes way beyond the tradition of using steroids like testosterone or something like growth hormone. Those things are nothing compared to the potential of gene doping. We're going to see all kinds of bizarre physiques generated by the influence of these gene doping agents that will alter the actual expression of genes at the level of the zygote, the beginning of the cell structure of a human being. Now, in labs, we can biosynthesize and engineer just about anything, so we've got to be cautious about what we take. Make sure that the hormones that you're taking are safe, that there's a good history of research behind them. Find out where they're made from, how they're made. Like hormones made from the urine of a mare versus derived and chemically changed from yam. There's a lot of evidence to show that there are other materials locked in to some of these hormones that we derive from vicarious sources. So I was tempted to take steroids as a young person. I'm glad I never did, but today kids are tempted. I still meet kids in the gym that are cranking, that look up to these bodybuilders that are cranking, who lie about the fact that they're cranking, who mislead young people into thinking that they're big because of the supplements they take. And nothing could be further from the truth. Alternatives that are both safe and effective are what we have to offer to these young people, like dietary supplements, good training protocols, and mentorship and teaching. That is what they need, and they need to know the truth about the drugs. They need to know that there's a huge downside that's much, much greater than the upside. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Ray Kurzweil, inventor, futurist, and author of The Singularity Is Near, When Humans Transcend Biology. We have the means right now to live long enough to live forever. But most baby boomers won't make it because they are unaware of the accelerating aging process in their bodies and the opportunity to intervene.